You're listening to How to Succeed in Evil, the novel, written and performed by Patrick E. McLean. For more information, visit succeedinevil.com. Chapter 12. Cindy with an I. Think about it. Is supersensitive hearing really a superpower? Or is it a curse? You see, when you can hear everything, it means that you can hear everything. And this was often a terrible problem for Excelsior. In the heat of the moment, in the middle of a fight, he didn't so much notice. When he was all alone, it wasn't so bad either. He became accustomed to the sounds of his environment, and it was bearable. But in group settings, say walking down a busy street, or in a crowd, or having dinner in a restaurant, it was hard. Because he heard everything. Every belch, every cough, every stomach gurgle and politely muffled fart. But worst of all was the silverware. Excelsior hated the sound of silverware scraping across plates. Silverware contacting teeth was even worse. It instantly set him on edge, which made what he was trying to do that much harder. He was trying to enjoy a nice dinner with a beautiful woman. Not as Excelsior, the most powerful man in the world, but as an ordinary person. You see, as Excelsior, beautiful women threw themselves at him all the time. He wasn't quite sure why this should be, but like rock stars, daredevils, fighters, and all men of power, it worked in his favor. So he didn't much question it. The problem was, they weren't interested in him. They were interested in touching a symbol, making love to a force of nature. Not him. Not who he was. Not whoever he might be without the powers or the costume. And the thing that scared Excelsior was that he almost couldn't remember who he was without the cape. He wanted to know. He wanted to know the truth of it. He wanted someone to love him. Him, not the symbol. So he removed the costume, laid down his powers, and posed as an ordinary man, faced with the age-old problem of finding a mate. To put it another way, he had solved the problem of lust. Now, he was looking for love. At table 13, an old man's dentures met improperly as he eagerly slurped at the mid-course mint sorbet. Excelsior made an effort to focus on his date. Her name was Cindy, with an I. She made a point of explaining that to people, as if it was her Indian name. Two Elk, Clouds Against the Moon, Cindy with an I. She was attractive, if you weren't picky, charming, if you weren't really listening, and young, by candlelight. As they looked at the menu, she giggled at nothing at all. Excelsior didn't really notice. The menu was in French, and he couldn't understand a word of it. Cindy with an I giggled again and held up a tiny fork.
Tiny!
She said. More giggles. Yeah, it's small, Excelsior said awkwardly, and then returned to the incomprehensible menu.
Yeah!
More giggles. Well, thought Excelsior, she wasn't Miss Wright. The waiter was perfectly mannered, but seemed to know instinctively that they didn't belong there. But it was the fact that the waiter wrapped his contempt in kindness. Take all the time you need with the menu, monsieur? That enraged Excelsior. He wasn't used to people being snotty to him. He felt the heat building up behind his eyes. All he had to do was let it go to reduce this guy to cinders. Excelsior reeled it back in. He was a hero. And the good guys didn't do that kind of thing. Besides, he was taking a night off. Didn't he deserve a night off? A long weekend, now and again. Nobody could work all the time. How could you make friends or have a relationship? Or even get your rocks off? Excelsior wasn't exactly human, but damn it, he had needs. He ordered champagne and oysters. Sure, it wasn't the cheapest bottle, but damn it, he was celebrating. Wasn't it his night off? The bubbly settled uncertainly in his stomach. Cindy, with an I, didn't like oysters, and so she ordered some French fries. The waiter had nodded and said, pommes frites, with equal measures of agreement and contempt. What a jerk. Excelsior didn't want frites. He wanted fries. But after a few drinks and a few oysters, the evening had almost become agreeable, and things were going pretty well, with Cindy with an I. And then the pager went off. When Excelsior wasn't in costume, people teased him about carrying a pager in an era of smartphones. He gritted his teeth and ignored them. "Just call me old-fashioned. It works," he offered as a defense. But works wasn't the half of it. The box clipped to his belt would receive a signal anywhere on the globe. Not only did it work under 300 feet of rock, it was even able to resist the pressure of 300 feet of rock piled on top of him. It might take a minute, but it would receive a signal on the moon. Excelsior was sure he could destroy it, but it had to be one of the toughest man-made objects he had encountered. He was kind of proud of the device. He never consciously considered that it was the wrong end of the leash. But once he had dreamed of throwing it into the sun. Even in his dream, even as he watched it drift towards a hydrogen-fueled oblivion, it had gone off. He was called away from the thing's own destruction. The pager meant that he had to go. Whatever it was on the other end of that vibration, it was important. If he didn't go, right now, people would die. Sometimes they would be brave men struggling for their lives, other times innocents and children. But all the same, they would die. To be fair, they never used this thing frivolously. And wasn't it a privilege to carry this pager? To be able to help? He never consciously considered that it was the wrong end of the leash. But sometimes, like now, the pager going off gave him waves of powerful anger that he could not understand. But there was Cindy, with an eye. For all her faults, she was ready, willing, and eager. As she leaned forward, Excelsior became sure that her bare thighs pressed against the well-worn leather as she bounced up and down like a little girl. Perhaps she was wearing panties. Perhaps not. He used his X-ray vision to look through the table and through her skirt. He was right. No panties. Again, the pager vibrated like the soulless, unforgiving thing that it was. As the smug waiter passed, Excelsior grabbed his arm. Not hard enough to break it, but hard enough to leave a bruise. "I need a shot of bourbon and the check." The waiter winced in pain, but still the corners of his mouth dropped in contempt. Excelsior gave the arm another little squeeze. He could feel the bones grind together. "It's important, and it needs to be the very next thing you do." The blood drained from the waiter's face, and he nodded. Excelsior released his arm.
"What's the matter?"
asked Cindy with an eye.
"I'm sorry, baby. Daddy's gotta go."
Excelsior held up the pager. "Important business."
"You've always got important business. What about me? Aren't I important business?"
She leaned over the table and showcased her magnificent breasts, some of the finest that money could buy.
"I'm sorry, this kind of business doesn't wait."
"Whatever. I think you're gay."
"I am not gay."
"We've been on, what, 3 dates? And you always run off before you have time to take care of the most important business?"
"Look, my work is complicated."
"Your work? Your small penis."
"But..."
"And you never have any fun. And you never buy me any cocaine."
"What?"
"You're no fun."
"This conversation is over."
"You bet your small penis it's over. Don't call me again."
She stormed off. Apparently, Excelsior would have to look for true love elsewhere. The waiter set the check and the shot down on the table. Excelsior did not look up at him. If he had caught even the slightest hint of a smile, he would have burnt him down in front of everyone. His eyes grew hot again. Sometimes it came out as lasers, sometimes as tears. Either way, choking back the emotion was the smart thing to do. Excelsior knocked back the drink and threw money at the check. Ridiculous that he should have to pay this check. How many times had he saved this city? And what thanks had he received?
I mean, really? A key to the city? Not like that thing would magically unlock gridlock when you were trying to get to the airport. Or part cross-town traffic like the Red Sea. He felt his eyes growing hot again. He needed to get out of this stuffy restaurant. Away from confined spaces.
His eyes watered and he started towards the door. He bulled his way through the elegant constellation of the dining room. Predictably, he collided with a heavily laden waiter. The waiter was sent sprawling. What chance did he have against a guy who could knock over a building? And a tray full of food and wine crashed down on an elegantly dressed gentleman at a nearby table. As Excelsior winged his way out of the city, a question rattled around in his head. Did he wear the costume, or did the costume wear him? You've been listening to How to Succeed in Evil by Patrick E. McLean. For more information, visit succeedinevil.com.